Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This episode is brought to you by Omax Health. More on that later. Let's get into the Dew.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Sign up for the email newsletter that'll be coming out with all my dates this year. Also, go over and subscribe to my YouTube channel as well. Make sure you do that. I'm going to start putting up some more stand-up clips, stuff like that over there. TheHoneydewPodcast.com is the website for the show here, where you get your merch, you know, social media links, all that stuff's over there. And what we do here every week is we highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. And today I'm very excited to introduce for the first time here on The Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Tomlinson, everybody. Yeah!
I love that, the clapping from the sound booth.
And we're all excited that you're back. What a
team.
It's a hell of a team. It is a hell of a team. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited.
I'm very excited too. I already have my arms crossed and on the
already
on the
bracing
table.
Yourself for the trauma.
But before you're the first to
let's
say
get
that.
Into it.
Before we do, please plug everything you'd like. Okay. Get it all out there.
At Taylor Tomlinson on everything, ttomcomedy.com for tour dates. I'm always on the road. And my one-hour Netflix comedy special, Quarter Life Crisis, is streaming now. So check that out.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep. Oh, and I should say, I didn't even say my fucking dates. Go to RyanSickler.com. We got Phoenix, Vancouver, Edmonton, Minneapolis, Boston, a few other stacks. Go.
Wow, off the top of your head like that.
But I don't remember my damn dates. And
still,
I should be
even that, I'm like, I know I'm in D.C.
I try to go
everything
regionally.
Else. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know.
All right. I really want to get to know you better. So first of all, let's start with where you're from.
I'm from California.
Oh, you are mm-hmm. from California.
I'm from California. I grew up in like Modesto, Stockton up until I was like 9. And then I was in Temecula and Riverside.
I know Temecula well. I have a friend that lives down there. I like Temecula. It's grown over the last 15 years.
It's a great place to be from. Like, it's a good place to grow up if you just want to like, I don't know, go to the mall and play very inclusive soccer.
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean,
everyone has $50 gets to try to make a goal. Like, it's not, you know, it's just like, it's very suburban.
Have you done the casino down there at all yet? Like, have you gone home to do your club yet?
They haven't asked.
Really?
No. Or I haven't been
Temecula.
Sent to I know.
Pechanga.
You know
Pechanga.
Screw you guys. I don't
Come
want
on,
to
Pechanga.
Anymore.
Now you missed your chance, Pechanga.
Yeah, I'm never
now
coming
you missed
back.
Your chance.
No, who wants to do that? Who wants
There's
to perform
no
for
coming.
All their parents' friends? Parents would have a client night and then yell at me after. No, thank you.
So, Northern California. Is that considered Northern or is it like mid? What is
Modesto, Stockton? Yeah, that's Northern California.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it like? Is it like country up there more?
Yeah, where I grew up, it was more like I didn't really grow up in Stockton, like the city part. I grew up in like the rural part where there were like orchards and stuff until I was like 5. And that was probably the best part of my childhood. Just like
you only have 5 good years of it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. Is it like that for most people, though, that the first 5 years are great and then like stuff starts going down?
I don't, you know, I think it just gets you when it gets you.
Yeah.
But I say like
Slender Man or something.
Yeah, just coming when it's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you go back and look on paper, I always think about this, at my childhood, like it was pretty traumatic and shitty.
Yeah.
But also, I fucking really did have a good time.
Yeah.
I really did. I know, like, I look at a piece of paper and go, oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But I really do I guess the love I got from the right people, and then also being able to have, do you have siblings?
Mm-hmm, I have three sisters.
Are you close?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, yeah. And that was huge for us too, and extended family, like cousins that were very close, and I really, who always made it fun, and they were suffering through the same shit. These are all yeah. the same family members and stuff, so.
How many siblings do you have?
I have two brothers.
And you're all really close?
Yeah, we're close.
Yeah, see, yeah. That's the nice thing. That's one of the silver linings of having like childhood trauma when you have like multiple siblings is you all just kind of like y'all get really, really close in a way that I don't think other siblings do.
No.
I mean, I have friends or I've dated people who are like, I wish I had with my brothers or sisters what you have with yours. And I'm like, I don't know. Do you like your parents?
Yeah.
Because there's only one way to get this prize.
Yeah,
and you
did
gotta...
you have to give your grandma CPR? You didn't? Well, you're probably not going to be this tight at the fucking like Thanksgiving the... then. You know what I'm saying?
It's like the last Avengers where someone has to get thrown into the pit to get the stone.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it costs.
That's what it costs, guys. You want to be? You want to talk every week? Oh, man, you got to go through some shit.
If yeah, you want that truth. Group text chain with all those fun memes, yeah, I mean.
That's the truth. You don't get to just jump in this group text. The trauma therapy yeah. in this group text here. Nah, you got to earn that.
And you guys all have a probably dark sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're oh, the first yeah. people to us. Make those jokes.
All of, we had a family death pool.
Yeah.
You know, we really did. Everyone was dying, and we were like, Jesus Christ. You know, and I used to call, I talk about on my first album, I yeah. really would call my Aunt Marguerite. I'm like, how you feeling? She was like, you know, I was like, I got you this year. She's like, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. But see, eventually, and here it is now, you know, I'm 46. We're on deck now.
Yeah.
Like, the younger kids are going to start betting on our asses.
That's
you know?
Hilarious. It's a tradition you've yeah. passed down. You're like,
what
look,
if,
when we
what if
age?
I die, but I'm brought back, and I bet on myself, can I keep the money? Can I keep the money? That's
if
a legit
I'm,
question
how
in our
long
family.
Do I have to be dead
yeah, right.
before I'm resuscitated
and then I
to keep the cash? He got the $1,500 on a technicality.
I was done for 8 seconds. Y'all saw it. There's paperwork on it. I'm taking the check. I'm taking the check.
We're going to get a second opinion.
Yeah.
That
so
is so funny. Do it, you? I have another question.
Please.
When you guys brought in like significant others, were they uncomfortable with the jokes you would make?
Yeah. I
or did
mean,
you have to kind of like warn them, like, no, we can make these jokes and you just have
really
to get
question.
Used to it?
Yeah, they were and still are because they just, like, that part of their life's over. They didn't go through that shit then. It
yeah.
doesn't matter what they go through now, that their teenage version of themselves didn't go through that shit. So,
right.
like, it's, you know, second nature to us. And it's funny because like when we argue though, we go hard too, just as hard yeah. as we love, like we will go at it. And I so my younger brother was getting married in Jamaica and it was expensive and not everybody could afford it. And he got upset with us because we said that, but we didn't really mean to be dicks about it. We're like, look, you know, it's an expense. We're definitely going to be there, but like some of the cousins aren't going to be able to make it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, this is where we want to go. Like, it's yours. It's yours. So we get there and everybody's a little bit on edge and we're checking in and we all have to give our credit card or whatever. And they're like, well, the rooms aren't ready. We're going to hold your cards. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we go, we're partying, we're having a good time. And there's a lot of tension, you know, as some weddings tend to have.
And, some weddings.
and, yeah, which we'll get to. But a friend of ours, now, if these are like art, we go back to like, and it's all from their trauma, too. We all go back to like 6th and 7th grade. So mm-hmm. they're there. And they rent this villa up on the hill. And you got to hike this hill to get up to it. But it's beautiful. So I'm up there drinking. And I know their wives. Everybody's. So fucking, we're so tight from all this bullshit. Mm-hmm. And we go back to kid, you know, childhood. And all their wives are great wives. They're great moms and are all saying stuff like, why play with the kids at night? And blah. And my brother and I are just sitting there. And after whatever that is, they say, my brother goes, do you remember when mom used to read to us at night? And I go, no. and their husbands laugh because they've known us and my yeah. mom since, you know, 6th grade.
Yeah.
And then they would talk about it, and my brother's like, do you remember when mom used to play board games with us? And I'm like, mm-mm. And we would just keep going through. Well, my brother ends up getting pissed off about something. And they tell, he he comes up and disrupts the whole fucking night. And he's screaming at me. He's like, it's fucking bullshit. They charge my credit card for your shit. He's just going nuts. I go, hey, I'm right. I'll send you the money right now. I'm here. Like, I didn't charge the card. Yeah. And his wife is trying to, she's going, Derek. And he's like, no, I got to get this out. You know, and he's just, it's on the hill. It's quiet as shit. Everyone at the wedding can hear this whole thing. And he is screaming like, this is the last time we travel together. I'm like, this is the first time we've ever traveled together. I can't believe it. I go, what's the big deal? I'll pay you the money. It's not a big deal. And his wife's going, Derek. He's going, no, I'm tired of shit. Let me just get this out. He's screaming, screaming, screaming. And finally she goes, Derek, we owe him. They put our charges on his card. I said, oh, is that what? Oh, man. He was humiliated. But he's screaming at me. He's like, you fuck face. But that's how we argue.
Right. Yeah.
And the wives are like, oh my God. And their husbands are like, it's okay. This is how they do it. He fucking leaves. He leaves and goes down and he's gone for like 20 minutes. And everyone but me and their husbands are super uncomfortable. Like, I'm like, sorry about that. That's just how, like,
yeah.
I was like, he'll probably be back in a little bit. And like, I don't think he's coming back. And then his wife makes him trudge back up that hill and he comes up and. The sweetest retribution of all is that he had to apologize, but he was so out of breath. He's like, I just wanted to say, like, he's like, and I was like, no one fucking give him any drink. No one gives him water. If anyone gives him water, I'm going to be pissed off. You fucking apologize right now like that. He was huffing and puffing. I had to suck. Like, just want to say, I'm really embarrassed. I'm sorry. I yelled like that. I made a mistake. And I was like, this is fucking awesome.
That's hilarious. Awesome.
Yeah. So we're super tight and we'll fight like that though too. Yeah. Do you fight with your siblings?
We do. The interesting dynamic with us is my siblings don't go, let them do it. Let them figure it out. We all try to mediate depending on who's fighting. There's four of us. So it's like, I mean,
what are the age ranges?
Little Women. It's it's every 2 years. So it's 20, 22, 24, 26.
Okay.
And so it's interesting because we'll go through phases where there will be two of us that are butting heads more than usual. So like, and my dad says that he wanted two because there were two. It was just him and his brother. My mom had three in her family. So she wanted three. And once they had three, my dad is like, we need to have four so that everybody has a buddy. Because if we just have three, someone's going to be left out. So it did kind of feel like that growing up where like me and my sister, who's 2 years younger than me, we joined forces and were best friends. And then my two youngest sisters joined forces. And then
the varsity and the JV.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and then for a little bit, my second to youngest sister kind of dropped off and was like, you know, hanging out with friends and being like a little more of a wild child or whatever. And there was like the group text with me and two of my younger sisters. And then my third sister kind of like came back a few years ago and now we're all together. But yeah, I mean, there will be times that like, you know, me and the 22-year-old are just like, I'm like, I can't, I guess we're just not going to be close. Like there was a few years like that where I'm like, I guess we just don't have anything in common. I guess we're not friends. And I guess I'll just see her at holidays. And then my youngest sister and I, we've been butting heads recently. And it's because we're really similar. And she hates it when I say that. She's like, that's not true. I'm nothing like you. I'm like, we literally have the same face. Like, we look alike. We're stubborn really as hell. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we look so similar. My middle two sisters, they look similar. And we're kind of bookending it with my dad's genes. And my middle two sisters look more like my mom. And, yeah, me and my youngest sister, we got into it because she was upset that like a trip we were all taking was kind of falling apart and she started getting really upset and I was kind of going like, okay, well, it's not a big deal, like we'll figure it out. And she felt like that was being very dismissive, which I can understand, and if I were upset I would probably feel the same way. But at the time I was just like, I'm presenting solutions. Like, I don't understand. I was like a bad boyfriend where I'm just like, I'm just solving problems, babe. You're just trying to bitch? What? I said we could go to Walmart right now and get the pictures printed. Like, and It like came to a head, and I mean, talking about everything coming back to trauma, I mean, it got down to it where we get to like the seed of everything, because it doesn't go just like, I'm mad at you for this thing you did and the way you talk to me right now. It's like, you always do this. Yep. You're exactly like Dad. Yep. You don't understand. I never knew Mom, like all this stuff. And you're like, oh my gosh, like what? This is more. There's like some roots to this shit.
Just trying to get candles.
Yes. Okay?
I just want to get some candles and get the hell out of Walmart.
But right? I get it. And so when she finally like get it, we get down to like all of it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I totally understand. But also, oh, I just said the thing in the wrong tone of voice. And now it feels like everything's blowing up, but I fight the same way. And so my middle two sisters are trying to like mediate, and they're trying to make it work so the trip doesn't fall apart, and like trying to play both sides, right, where I'm like, she said I yelled at her. I didn't yell at her. And my sister's like, okay, you didn't yell at her. And my youngest sister's like, she said she's being dismissive and got angry. And I'm like, I'm not getting angry. My other sister's like, you seemed angry. And I'm like, you're taking her side. So everybody... it has to pick sides, and they're like, can everyone just hug before we all drive home? Because nice. We all live, yeah, an hour or two away from each other, and we all have a fear that if we drive home, we're going to die, and we don't want to die on bad terms. So everyone has to hug before we leave. Like, it's just all steeped in the fear and the trauma. And yep. I mean, that closeness is there from it, but also, like you said, that different way that you fight on that like real like cellular level of like, it's more than just this. Yeah. Like it's intense.
It's
for
hard
sure.
for other people to get to, you know, like, yeah. I say my daughter's mother, she's super sensitive.
Yeah.
And I come from arguments where people are like, hey, fuck face. And I don't, and I just let them finish the sentence. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what
is it?
You know,
fuck face so here reporting for duty.
Yeah, she's like, clearly you're talking to me. You know, and I come from that. Yeah. So when she's like, that's kind of harsh or whatever, I'm like, is it? Like, you know, so I it's funny because I say my daughter's mother instead of my wife, probably because of that shit. Like, I come from much more intense shit where I'm like, oh, that's, are we talking about tennis shoes right now? Yeah. Like, this is, we don't have problems. You know what I mean? Like, I come from fuck face, you know, and hey, dick face. Listen.
I hail from fuck face mountain.
I mean, come on. All right, so let's go back and talk about what happened.
I know,
so
we just got into it. We
that's
didn't even
okay. I like the,
build
I,
a foundation. We're just like, here's the house.
Here's the house. Yeah. Let's go for a tour.
Yeah.
What? So you're in Stockton, Modesto. You're mm-hmm. born. All of you born there?
Yeah. Okay. All of us were born there. But our mom died when we were 2, 4, 6, and 8 years old.
Ugh.
So, what's been interesting is as we've gotten older, everybody has dealt with it in very different ways. Whereas like my...
P.S. I have 20 years on you. Get ready to fucking cry in your late 30s at the grocery store and
oh
shit.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. Just, it's, you keep it's, expecting it to get better. Like I said that to my grandma.
It gets better. But
Does it?
Yeah, but it's just like jumps in a parking lot sometimes or something. Some car will ride by and you'll hear a song like, oh my God, I'm 39. I'm 39. Yeah. But wait, what happened to your mom? How did she pass?
She had cancer.
Oh.
Pretty standard. It's like it's so Fair fucked up there. That you go like, look, we had warning. It wasn't like it wasn't, you know, some big like you downplay what happened to you because it's what happened to you. So you're like, she's sick for a few years, and you know, we had support from the church, and I mean, we knew it was coming. And like I hear people whose parents or whoever died suddenly, and I'm like, oh, that's so much worse. Like I can't imagine.
But wait. The youngest was 2?
She was 2, yeah.
So,
her whole life.
Cancer, like, right after having?
She must have,
right?
Yeah.
Pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Because she was having, from what I understand, she was having, like, really bad, like, night sweats. And she went to the doctor a few times. And he was just like, it's hormones. Like, it's not anything to worry about. It's hormones. Which is the terrifying part about being a woman is, like, anything that happens to your body, it's either hormones or cancer. And so
that's
just
all
like,
you got.
All right. Either my cervix is trying to murder me or it's just, you know, it's an off month and your boobs hurt. You just never know, but you got to get scanned regardless. But her doctor didn't know, and then they finally figured it out. And from what my family tells me, her doctor felt real bad.
I mean,
whew, that's a rough one. So she had Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh.
And by the time they found it, I don't even know what stage it was. But yeah, she had been sick for a while, and then was probably sick for, you know, another year and a half before she died, would be my guess. Jeez. So she had, I think she had 2 rounds of chemo. Again, I don't really know. I mean, that's the other
eight.
Thing. I was 8. I didn't get all the, you know, people weren't updating me. Like when he came in with the chart, he wasn't like, is everyone here? Where's Taylor? Tell her to put down the book.
Come on, we're going to do a white blood cell count. Come here.
You reading Harry Potter? All right, I got a real story for you. Come here.
This
right here. This is once upon a time, there was a sick mom, and it's yours. Spoiler alert. but yeah, I mean, I didn't even understand what was going on.
And were you in and out of hospitals? Do you remember any of that? You were?
Yeah. I remember at one point in third grade, she was maybe going to have to go to Stanford for like a more experimental treatment or something. And it didn't end up happening. I don't think, but at the time I remember telling my teacher and like people at school, like, I'm gonna have to go to Stanford with my mom, because like, and I told my dad, and he was just like, you're not going, like, it's his mom's thing, like, you're not gonna have to go to the hospital with mom. So you just don't know what's going on at all. And again, I hear, like, you know, I lost someone at 16, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so much worse, because you understand what's happening. But there's also something hard about not knowing what's happening, because when you're 8 and someone dies, you kind of don't even feel like it happened.
Yeah, I have to imagine that, right?
Like, yeah, because you don't know anybody else it's happened to. You're like, this is something that happens in Disney movies.
Right.
Am I the Little Mermaid? Like, am I about to get hot? Because I'll go to Hot Topic and get a seashell bra right now. Right now I'll go get it. And then you hit puberty. I started wearing a bra like months before my mom died. And so, like, the shit hit the fan.
Girls too.
My God. I don't know if I can't prove that my period was triggered by trauma, but.
That is terrible.
But, because my body was like, emotionally, you're bleeding. Let's just make it match. Because I got my period real early, and I always thought it was because of all the milk I drank. But now I'm like, ooh, was it that? Or, you just don't know. But, yeah, I mean. It was so strange to have it be happening. And then my dad got remarried fairly quickly. I mean, my mom died in August and my dad got remarried in June.
Wow.
And so it was a quick turnaround. And that's when we moved to Southern California.
All right. Can I ask some questions?
Yeah,
I have
absolutely.
Questions I want to ask. All right. Your mom's last days, were they at home?
Were they
in a hospital?
Home.
They were at
they
home.
They were at home with hospice. And she was like not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not even there.
She's just like a shell.
So who's helping your dad with 4 children while your mom's going through this? Do you have grandparents up there? Like,
yeah,
extended
we have grandparents
family?
Up there. My mom's sister and her husband, and they're 5 kids. They have 4 daughters
Holy
and then a boy
shit.
At the end. Yeah, and their 4 daughters are like, each one's like a year behind each one of
Man.
Us.
Man, and that's your mom's sister?
That's my mom's sister.
Okay.
And they were like 2 years apart. So they were super close in the way.
Oh.
Me and my sister are really close. So, I mean, to this day, the person I feel the worst for is my aunt. I mean, my uncle, too, because she had an older brother. My mom was a middle kid.
You're still close with
them? Yeah, we see them when we go up there. I mean, we're not as close as we would have been if we'd stayed
right. yeah,
living,
sure.
you know, around the corner. But yeah, most of my mom's family was living near us. And then we had a nanny who was like a woman we went to church with. Who's an older woman named Joanne, who we loved. And so there were a lot of people. And then we were, you know, my family was involved in church. So there was
a lot
of people helping
That's
out
great.
And bringing meals and donating money and stuff. So there was definitely like a support system there. But yeah, that was who was kind of supporting my dad. And there's, you know, prayer circles and everyone loves my mom and all that stuff. She's very like, beautiful and charismatic and funny and like, you know, all the
What's
things.
What's her name?
Angela.
Angela.
Yeah. So if someone's named Angela, that'll fuck me up when you're
yeah.
talking about Carmela and
oh,
your grandma's name. That'll
Angela's a popular one too. You'll be hearing that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
oh my gosh.
Up.
I mean, she had like, you know, sort of like fair skin and dark hair and was like big eyes and very beautiful. So sometimes an Anne Hathaway movie will fuck me up. Sometimes Ella Enchanted's on TV in a hotel, and I'm like, okay, we're going to do comedy in a minute. Like,
I got a rally here. Yeah.
Do you, you said your two middle sisters look like your mom.
They look like my mom. Do yeah, they ever, have freckles and the...
Does that ever catch you off guard when you look at them, and do you ever see your mom or...
Yeah, you know? I think so. And I, growing up, I know I really wanted that. Like, I asked my dad that a lot. I'm like, am I anything like mom? And he's like, nah, you look like me. And I'm like, all right, well, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, am I anything like mom? And he goes, you're a good writer. And I'm like, cool, I guess. Like, that's all I got. He wasn't like, you're beautiful and funny and you got everything. I fell in love with her. Like, he's just like, you write good. Like, that's all I got. And I'll be like, no, you know, Paige and Bryn, they look like mom. And then my youngest sister, I think, has a similar, she has a similar yearning to know more about my mom and feels like she didn't get to know her. But she really didn't get to know her. I mean,
right.
She has no
She's
memories.
Too, yeah, not even a memory
of her.
Just she pictures and.
Just pictures and videos. And
what? Oh, so many questions. I want to know what your dad's like, but I wanted. I want to ask you, like, who in the family is, because we have one person basically that's left, and she's 75 now, and she's like the key to, at this moment, I still talk to her. I can call her and say, hey, who was blah, blah, you know what I mean? And I can get the history of the family from her.
Yeah.
Because she's it. So who?
It's a lot of pressure on her.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. Oof. And I was like, stay in good health, for Christ's sake.
Take your vitamins.
Who in your family is that for you guys with your mom? Is there someone outside of your dad that you could call and talk to that can really tell you about, like, I mean, your aunt, obviously, right? They grew up together? No, not so much.
I could, but we... She gets so upset.
She does.
She
still
gets really sad. Yeah. And I mean, my cousins have even said, like, if you bring up certain things, like, mom will cry. And like, I'd never want to make her upset.
No. How old was your mom, by the way, when she passed?
34.
Oof.
Yeah.
God, that's so young.
I know.
And she had four kids by 34.
Yeah.
So how old was she? Eight. So 20, what, six she started roughly having kids. There's four of you.
25 because I turned 9 a couple months after she died. So yeah,
do you remember that birthday?
I don't remember that birthday. I remember the first day of fourth grade. I remember that.
Why do you remember that?
Because I remember standing up and saying the Pledge of Allegiance and looking at all my classmates standing and going, I wonder if anybody knows my mom died.
Oh,
like, that's what I just remember that moment. And I never thought to ask my dad this until really recently because of something one of my sisters said, where she remembered going back to school after it happened. And I remember I talked to my dad and I was like, we realized we didn't know if our teachers knew or if anyone in class knew. And he's like, oh yeah, I didn't tell anybody. And I was like, oh yeah. And he's like, I just didn't. He was like, there was so much stuff to take care of, I didn't think of it. And then he called me back like an hour later, like crying, just like, I'm so sorry, I should have told your teachers, like, I don't know why I didn't think. It was so heartbreaking. And I was like, Dad, it's fine, like, you had a lot going on, like, it's okay. And I got sent to the, my dad has kind of a bad memory, so I don't even know if that's true, like, maybe he did tell them, because I got sent to our school therapist, so I don't know if maybe he did tell them and forgot, or if I was just running my mouth, because I remember telling people in middle school that my mom had died, and I was still figuring out how to tell people. I remember telling a kid in seventh grade that my mom had died, and he was like, you're lying. And I said, what? No, why would I lie about that? And he goes, because you're laughing. Why would you be laughing? And I was like, I don't know why. And then I saw The Dark Knight years later, and the Joker is laughing while Batman beats him to shit. And I go, oh, that's why I was laughing.
That's right.
And that was what it was. Okay. Took a few years, but Heath Ledger cracked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just remember, like, going,
I'm still like that. When I'm in pain, I, like, even if it's like I break my ankle or something, I still go, oh, it hurts. Oh,
Right.
I'm like, what is wrong with me? But yeah, everything's wrong.
Everything's wrong. You're like, wrong. Something's broken in there. And I'm like, I didn't think when my mom died, I'd have to convince this piece of shit, Justin. That she had actually, I'm like, you want to see her ashes, motherfucker? Yeah. Like, This is ridiculous. Like, we're 12.
Oh, my God. You just made me remember something that I haven't...
I'm so sorry.
No. It's so weird because right before my father died, a friend of mine in high school told me his mom had died. And no one believed him for some reason either.
Yeah.
And one day we're walking home and he's like, she's buried in this cemetery. And everybody's like, no, she's not. And he took us to the grave and we were like, oh, my God, she's right there.
Was everyone like... We're sorry, they're embarrassed.
And we were just let's go play some football.
Sorry, man.
He took us to the headstone. I just made me remember that he did. Because it is weird people don't believe. I don't know. I guess they don't want to believe something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
You know what it is? It's for the same reason.
They don't want
it to happen to them. And if it happened to you, it can happen to them.
That's right.
And that's just not something they can let in.
I remember a great friend of mine, his mom was like my mom, and her daughter died in a car accident. Two kids, actually, 16, a boy and a girl, Anthony, Emilio, and her name's Kelly Patterson. They got hit by a guy, and back then, their heads collided. They were buckled, but their heads hit. And anyway, I remember some parents wouldn't go.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to those parents are like, they're looking at this person like, this is our worst nightmare. Our kid's dying, and here's two of them right here. And it was just, it shook that town, you know, like, fuck. And then a few more had happened, and you could just see, like, but, it's funny. You said at 16, I was more aware, and you're right, because I remember our dad's funeral was an excused absence from the school because my brother and I are twins, and then my younger brother wasn't in school yet, but we played all the sports, all that shit. And when I got back to school, I've never felt like bombing on stage has felt, this is what I'm saying, it seasoned you for fucking life. Bombing on stage has felt better than the first day I went back to school, and I just felt like I knew it came from a good place from everyone, but it was just like I was being under this magnifying glass of being like there and just people walking by, some people wanting to say something, not knowing what to say, some people just not even want to look at you. And it was just this feeling of like, it felt gross. It was almost, it was vulnerable and it was raw. And it's like it was like you were this like special case, you know what I mean? And I never wanted to ever feel like that. When it came to something like that. So I remember that fucking feeling. Yeah. And I know what you're saying. Like, it's weird. And then you have to, and you said something really interesting too. Like, I was learning how to tell people, like, oh my God, yeah. You have to learn how to tell that fucking story.
So everyone knew when you went back to school.
Yeah. Because they were allowed, well, it was an excused absence.
Oh, for everybody.
Yeah. The school could go and they wouldn't count it as against you if you wanted. Yeah. It was really nice.
Wow. Did you go to a small school?
Yeah, it's funny.
Or was your dad like a local hero?
My dad was a local hero, yeah. He was one of those jetpack guys.
No. I'm like an excuse to
fly around and shit, like, hey, it's Ryan's dad. No, we just were, popular in the sense that we played all the sports and there were two of us, you know what I mean? Like,
that's hilarious.
That kind of shit.
Imagine having that Mary-Kate and Ashley power.
That
if something tragic happens to you, they're like, this happened to all of us.
Yeah.
Not just the Sickler boys. You were that popular?
We were pretty
popular. That's how I know I was a loser. Because nobody came from school. Nobody even
knew.
But
your dad didn't tell everybody.
That's
we
true.
Told everybody.
Oh, that's like, I didn't even know to be mad about that.
I called the school
if
the day my dad died.
If I could throw a football, I would have had friends to sit with in the pews. You goddamn athletes. You get everything.
It helped. That's why I want my kids to play. I am still friends with those guys from 6th and 7th grade. That sport, but then we became way more popular after that because our mom had split already. Mm-hmm. So now we're just three kids in high school living in an apartment by ourselves with no dad and no parents. And everyone's coming to our place to drink and hang out. Yeah, so we became popular. But again, people are like, oh, it's cool. I'm like, do you understand why we're all here? It's not cool.
Party
that's what I'm saying.
Party at the Twins' house.
Yeah. Dead dad party number three, guys. Yeah. I'm like, it's what you were saying. Like, you gotta earn this.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
You're
this
handing out party invitations with like matching like two skull and crossbones on it.
This didn't come easy, you know. This Saturday night keg right here is a lot of trauma behind this fucking keg.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah, the reason you had a good time in high school is because I had a terrible time in high school.
We took the hit so we could get wasted. That is so funny.
That's the truth.
How long did your mom split before your dad passed?
Not long. Like, they had problems the whole time, but they split once, got back together for like a shaky 2 years, you know, at best. And then she split probably 14, and then he died at 16.
Oh, my
gosh. So, like,
gosh.
A couple years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but.
And how'd your dad pass?
Heart attack.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We woke up, like, so differently. Like, I'm so glad we're talking about this because I still wonder, like, would it have been better to watch him die of a slow death, but yet selfishly get to tell him everything I've wanted to tell him?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I know this impending doom is coming. Let me, you know, you're a good writer. Maybe if I'd have known you, you could have wrote some words for me to say to him, you know, you're a good writer.
I mean, I did speak at my mom's funeral.
There you go.
Which is when I caught the performance bug. I was up there like,
you're running the light, girl.
I got to get more stage
Aunt
time. And
Shirley's up next. Come on. She's chopping at the bit.
No, I, you know, I think about that too because I wish I'd lost her.
Yeah,
this
do you
is a
wish,
fucked up way to say
I want
to
hear it. Do you
I wish
it
I had
was...
lost her the same way 8 years later because I could have, like you said, asked her all the questions I had. I mean, it was like I was too young to know
how much even time you had.
How
left.
Much even time
Everything.
I had, what to ask her.
Yeah.
I mean, when she was in the hospital, kind of right before she really went downhill, she did this thing where she wrote me a letter in a journal. And had my dad give it to me while she's in the hospital.
Oh.
And she goes, this is like our secret private place to talk about anything you want to talk about. And we can write back and forth to each other. Dad's going to be our delivery man while I'm in the hospital. And so she wrote me this beautiful letter. I still have it. Gave it to my dad to give to me. I got it. I wrote her a letter in it. And then she wrote back to me. It only happened like a few times that we wrote back to each other. And then she, you know, couldn't anymore. And I look back at it and I'm like, you're writing about Jeff from third grade and how you
That's your
like
whole life,
him
though.
And you stared at the back of his head for an hour yesterday. Like, this is what you're talking to your mom about. But it's like, what are you going to say? Like, when did you lose your virginity? Like, you don't know to ask that stuff when you're 8. And after she died, I kept writing to her in that journal for like years because at the time I was like,
you still have that?
Religion. I still have
you
it.
You got to do something with that.
Oh, I don't know what to do with it. It's so sad. What? I mean, there are pages.
I mean,
that
it's
are,
an easy thing to say one woman show, but fuck
I
that.
Know.
You can do whatever you want with that.
Well, there are literally pages in it. There's some pages where I write and I haven't looked at it in a long time, I'll be honest. And then there are pages that are just like the hardest, like pen script, just everything that was going on, like where I couldn't think of what else to do, and you're like, oh my God, look at this kid. This kid is in so much pain.
Yeah,
that it really makes you sad. But I'm so glad I have it. And she scrapbooked a lot, so we have a lot of scrapbooks. I mean, back when scrapbooking like wasn't a thing, like back when she was in high school and college, and you know, just all these like ticket stubs and you know, photo booth memories, and like she was involved in like every activity. She's like a cheerleader and speech and debate and. You know, 4-H and like drama. She's in everything and just like tall and beautiful and popular. And you have all these detailed accounts of how amazing she was. And you're just like, I suck. Like I'm nothing like this person. And then, like six, 7 years ago, my youngest sister found a box of all of her journals from like fourth grade up until she got pregnant with me.
Whoa.
In my grandma's basement or in my grandma's attic. I have only read the one when she's in college. Everything else, I think my youngest sister read everything. I didn't read the other ones. I
think
she has.
Will? Are you not ready? Or
I think I will. I just, I mean, this is weird to say, but part of me like wasn't that interested in what she was like in fifth grade, because I've read mine from fifth grade and I'm like, this is
that'll only change nothing. When you're if you become a mom,
right?
Because I'll tell you what, you're gonna look back and you're gonna look back at 8 year old you, and you're gonna feel so fucking sad and sorry for 8 year old you, You know, you're gonna be like, good God. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, Omax Health. Living with chronic pain is the worst. It's more than a feeling of discomfort. It can affect your whole life. Many of my listeners probably have some type of pain that has prevented them from relaxing and sleeping or stopped them from exercising. Perhaps it's been ongoing for a few weeks now and hasn't improved with any of the treatments they've tried. I've had this thing going on in my from the back of my neck across my right shoulder blade. I don't know. It feels like I tore a muscle. It was killing me. I took the roll-on. I put it on. I'm telling you, within minutes, it worked. It worked. It kept it pain-free for a while. It felt so good. I was blown away. I won't use anything else for it. I'm not putting all that other stuff on. I'm just using that roll-on right now. And there's a lotion that's really good, too. Omax Health is here if you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately. I'm telling you, it was immediate. While providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health. This non-prescription triple-action pain relief roll-on is specifically formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. The best part is, this 100% natural CBD-powered remedy works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, much longer than the over-counter products. Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off a full bottle CryoFreeze Pain Relief Roll-On plus free shipping. I mean, come on, 20% off and free shipping. The discount also applies toward any product site-wide. Go to omaxhealth.com today and enter code HONEYDEW. That's omaxhealth.com and enter code HONEYDEW to get 20% off CryoFreeze and site-wide. Now let's get back to the dew. It's funny you said this kid was in so much pain. In seventh grade, I wrote a song called Cloven Hoof Bitch about my mom. And you just may remember this. That's what it was really called. Cloven Hoof Bitch.
You just remembered Cloven Hoof Bitch?
Also,
I would sing that every morning brushing my teeth.
Cloven Hoof Bitch. Also inspired Cloven Hoof learning through the church about the Cloven Hoof.
Yeah.
And I remember I can't believe this. I'm in lunch. We had a big, you know, cafeteria in middle school, seventh grade. We're sitting at this table. It's like eight people to a table or whatever, 10 people. And I'm showing it to my best friend, Matt Schilling, and we're dying laughing how dumb this fucking shit is. And the lunch lady comes up and she's like, hey, can I see that? And she takes it. And I'm like, and it's literally about my mom, and it's called Cloven Hoof Bitch, and she gives it back to me, and she goes, it's pretty good.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Didn't tell on me, didn't report me as a principal, nothing. Just like, here you go. It's,
I mean,
pretty
that's
good.
A
like,
scene in a movie a show.
Hey, how
sure.
about maybe saying, hey, are you hurting inside?
Yeah.
Or can we talk, just you and me outside?
And she's like, that rhymed.
Like, I think I know your mom.
You rhymed bitch and ditch. That's, wow. What she is and where you want to put her. I'm impressed. It's like, that's hilarious.
That happened.
I mean, wow. I that makes me, again, wonder if my teacher knew. Because, I got sent to a therapist that worked for the school. And then my dad sent me to a therapist who I actually really liked, who would just, like, let me play. She's just like, here's a sandbox and you can tell a story. And, like, inevitably, everybody in the sandbox died. And she's like, why did they die? I'm like, that's just what happens. And then I went to a hospice support group with younger sister. So this is real fucked up. So I don't know if every hospice does this, but okay. Our hospice did. Shout out to Modesto Hospice. They put me and my sister in like a support group for kids whose parents not only died of cancer, they mixed us in with kids whose parents were alive and still had it.
Oh,
yeah,
but so you could see what it was going to, so those
I
kids
guess,
could see like, hey, you should,
I don't know
what it's going to be
so
like for you. That's awful.
It's so awful. And I didn't even think of it when we were in it, but I'm like, some of those kids, their parents were still alive. But I mean, hospice, you know, you're, it's, you know what's going to happen. But like, we're all like 6 to 11 years old, maybe. And we're just in there like drawing pictures of our parents. And like, it was all I remember about it is that we paper mache'd mason jar candles. And then they had us all stand in a line up front. And I don't know if our remaining parents came to watch, or I feel like there were people there. And they had us light the candles. And they said, whenever you feel comfortable blowing it out, you do that. And then we all just, and some kids were just like, I'm done. And and then some of
where
us
where can
were
I dip
like,
this in gas and light it on fire?
And then some of us were just like, we're just like staring at that candle like it was the last so breath our parents took.
Oh, God.
I remember I was one of the last ones just like, let this is burn, the last God. Time. I remember a hospice gave us Disneyland tickets that had just been donated to hospice. And it was like a week after my mom died. And we had just gone back to school and they called my dad like, so we have Disneyland tickets for you guys. And he's like, oh, okay, thanks. And they're like, but you have to use it this weekend. And so my dad just like,
we got blackout tickets. Yeah.
My dad just like threw us all in the van and we're like, cool, like Disneyland. And I have pictures of me.
My mom just died. I'm going to Disneyland.
It was the Super Bowl of childhood trauma. And,
and that really is.
There are pictures of me in the van with like a backwards hat on, pigtails, the most oval glasses you've ever seen. Like I'm chubby and I got, you know, just an outfit that doesn't match. And I posted it for a throwback once. And I think I said, like, this kid's mom is dead. Like, it's so apparent that my mom died moments ago. And nobody knows how to brush my hair at home. I mean, I think we all had dreadlocks for 6 months. I mean, that's not your first priority. It's just like, let's just get them to school so they're not, you know, traumatized and uneducated. But I mean, yeah, it's nobody was making sure we were color coordinating,
right? Yeah,
in the months to come. But yeah, the finding
Listen,
stuff,
four kids at Disneyland is like 40 kids at Disneyland, four
right.
kids at Disneyland after their mom just died. I mean,
yeah,
fuck,
I know,
your dad. I mean, what kind of dude is your dad? Just straightforward, like you say, like, you're a good writer, just like that.
Yeah.
Like, what does he do?
He was a music teacher when we were younger for like 10 years. And then he remarried my stepmom, who I do a joke about now. My new hour has like 12 minutes about my mom dying. And I say on stage, I go, we call my stepmom mom because when my dad married her, like, nobody was using it. So we were like, yeah, sure, be mom. Like, if you had
titles vacant.
Yeah, if your principal quit and then you got a new principal, they wouldn't be like, this is Barry.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
No, it's your new principal. So we call her mom. So my mom now, she was a real estate agent when my dad married her, and like so successful, like had a boat and like multiple houses and was living. We moved into her house and there was plenty of room. Like, she was killing it. She was 8 years older than my dad. Like,
how'd they meet? And they met quickly.
She worked with my dad's mom.
Okay.
So she heard about just like my mom being sick, and I guess just like gave us money. Like, just like gave my grandma money. Was like, please, like, I want to help with their hospital bills. Like, that's a horrible situation. And other people had done that, and my dad called her when we went to Disneyland because they hadn't met or anything, and he was just like, hey, you know, I just want to say thank you, that was, you know, very nice what you did. We're gonna be in Southern California, would love to like take you out to dinner to say thank you so much. And she was like, oh, I'm engaged. And he's like, bitch, I'm not hitting on you, like, my wife died like weeks ago, like, I'm saying my kids will come, like, we're just trying to say thank you. And she was just like, oh, it's just, you know, it's not a good idea, but, you know. And they, you know, started talking because my dad, I don't know if my dad was like this before my mom died or if my mom dying made him like this, because my mom dying made me like this, where I'm like, I get into it. I don't do small talk. I'm like, you happy? No? Let's talk about it.
Oh,
so
amen.
He and my stepmom just started talking about her
relationship.
So she's engaged.
Okay.
And somehow they talked about the fact that they were having problems or something. And my dad just told her, like, look, I don't know you at all, but you seem like an amazing person to just give money to a family you don't know at
all.
And
I got these four kids.
Right. Not at all. He was just like, look, he wasn't hitting on her. He was just like, look, you deserve to be happy. Like, you should, you know, I don't know.
But she went from being engaged to whoever that dude was.
Yeah.
To very quickly marrying your dad. Not within a year?
Within a year.
Less than a year. Yeah. Like August to June, I think you said, right?
Yeah, and it's not like they got off the phone like, we're together. Like, she, I think, went to therapy.
Pack your shit. We're moving.
All right. Technical difficulties, but we're back. You like how I said that? Like, it's my show?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how exactly it went down with my stepmom and her ex, but I just know that after they talked, she...
You said they might have gone to therapy?
They might have.
That's really fucking mature. I mean, that's a...
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was, you know, she's in her 40s at that point, so... She, I think, tried to make it work with him or they, whatever, but they broke up. I don't know how long after. I don't know the exact timeline, but I know she and my dad talked on the phone like in August, and I know they were dating by Christmas. And they started talking on the phone because they lived, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours apart. So they like fell in love over the phone. Like it was right when my dad got a cell phone and they were just talking all day, all the time, and really got to know each other that way. And then they met halfway. And it's so cute to hear them talk about just being like, my stepmom will talk about it. Like, I just thought like, oh my gosh, like I hope we're attracted to each other. Like I'd never even seen a picture of him. Like,
oh,
we're,
wow.
I mean, Love is Blind, that they were the original Love is Blind, but they got to know each other. And, They met finally and they were just like, we were best friends over the phone. And I was so scared it wouldn't be there. And they met and they were just like, oh my gosh, like you're it. And so, yeah, they got engaged pretty quickly and married. And then we all moved. And I remember my dad telling me that he was going to propose. And your life just feels like a movie. I was like, he's like, yeah, we're going to move. I'm like, great. Like, sounds good. And then we moved and I was like, oh, this is great. We moved to Temecula.
Oh, that's where. Okay.
And so we actually moved to Murrieta, which is right next to Temecula. Mm-hmm. And we moved when I was in fifth grade, which is a rough time to move. And then we moved again in sixth grade to like a bigger house.
But still in that area?
No, a slightly different, so that I had to change schools. Oh, and so I was going to a different district going into middle school. So I went to middle school knowing nobody. No one. And it was rough. So that was a rough few years. But weirdly enough, fourth grade, the year after my mom died, great year of school for me.
You really remember that, huh?
I do. I remember it being really good. Like, I loved all my friends. I was, like, doing, I, like, ran for student president or something. I didn't get it, but I, like, was doing speeches and stuff. Like, I won some speech contest. I forget what it was about. Maybe it was about, I remember I wrote about my mom dying, and I remember a teacher saying on stage she wrote an amazing essay about losing her mom or something. And that's another thing about telling people is when I make new friends, it's such a big part of who I am. I feel like I have to tell them. So it feels weird when people don't know that about me, mm-hmm. which is another reason I think my sisters and I maybe make jokes about it, because we're like, this is a way to get that out there. Because it is weird to just go like, well, my mom died. But usually people ask about your parents and you go, well, my dad and my stepmom. And they go, oh, are your parents divorced? And you go, no, my mom died and it's fine. And it was a long time ago, even though it's not. And it never will be.
Never.
But you got to say that.
Are you close with your stepmom?
Not really. No. I mean, I wouldn't say we're close. We're
But you
good.
Always got along.
No. We did not always get along.
I mean, that's a lot. Think about.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, as you're talking, I'm putting myself in her shoes. Like,
oh, she's an incredible person.
You're taking on, like, first of all, your new husband's wife just passed.
Yeah.
That in itself is a layer that could ruin anything.
Yeah.
And on top of it, four kids under the age of 10
yeah.
that are also now coming to live in my home, too. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And she had never been married before. Did she have kids?
She'd been married in her 20s.
Did she?
And then
she had
gotten divorced. No, she has no kids. Okay. Yeah. She can't have children, thank God, because we didn't need any more. but she always wanted kids. Yeah. I think her ex had a kid and she always wanted kids. But she's the polar opposite of my mom in every way. My mom was like stay at home mom, very creative, you know, very emotional. In good and bad ways. And my stepmom is like, she is like a career woman. She does not let her emotions control her. She is very like, she takes care of people, but she's also like, she takes good care of herself. She's very, you know, self-sufficient. And what I always say is like, she was less like a mom and more like a role model in a lot of ways. Cause like, I mean, I remember when I realized like, oh, she kind of raised me just as long as my mom did, maybe slightly longer, arguably. And when I was younger, when they first got married, the first few years were really hard. And I finally like confronted her one day and I was just like, why don't you like me? Like, I feel like you don't like me. And we were arguing and my dad kind of came in and was like, you guys have different love languages, the love language thing. And he's like, you know, your mom likes acts of service. You like, you know, quality time and physical touch or whatever. And my stepmom's just not like a touchy feely person. She's mm-hmm. with her dog, but not really with other people. And I had to just learn not to take that personally because it didn't have anything to do with like her not loving us or anything like that. It was just like, she's just different. And when I got older, I was able to see from her perspective and put myself in her shoes and go, oh my gosh, like you went from kind of just like bawling out and having nobody to worry about but yourself to there's now
five
people living. Yeah. And you got four of them are children between the ages of 3 and 10. That's nuts.
That's
like
nuts.
It's crazy. And like my dad
and they're still together.
They're so happy. It's been, you know, 16 years now.
Wow.
17 years, yeah. I guess. And they're like the best couple. They're the best couple I know. They're best friends. They have so much fun together. But even that was hard. It was hard because my dad became a realtor after they got married. Then he was working like every day. Like, I mean, Monday through Sunday, working all the time. And because my stepmom was a little bit of a workaholic. And it was like my dad like took better care of himself. Like he got more attractive. Like, he just like kind of revamped his life a little bit is how it felt. So in a weird way that I didn't recognize at the time, but I did years later in therapy, I'm like, oh, I think I kind of resented my dad because he got to have this whole new life really quickly. And he almost got like a second chance. Not that he was going to divorce my mom or ever would have or anything like that, but it was like, he went through this horrible traumatic thing. And then he got to be happy pretty quickly. And
also have his kids be financially stable. And
like
you're not bouncing from home to home and apartment to apartment.
Yeah. And in a better school district. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like
all that stuff. But it's hard. It was hard too because I wish he had waited a little longer.
Sure. Yeah.
But I also don't because it was so great for him. I'm like, he deserved to be happy. I mean, he'd been through hell.
A happy him is healthier and better for you guys too. You
right.
know, you'll never see that when you're 10 years old.
I know.
We're not Kate. Even if someone came and told you that, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. And it would have been hard to move at any point, but there have been times and I've talked to him about it where I'm just like, I kind of wish you'd waited like another year at least. And he was just like, I don't really agree with you. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. Like I get it. And there's no way to ever know. Also they were newlyweds with four kids, which is not like the best situation. So they would send us back to Northern California like every school break. Like, so we'd go for like 2 weeks over the summer, a week at Christmas, a week at Easter, to stay with my grandparents, my mom's parents.
Okay, good. That's nice.
So, and my mom's parents adopted baby twin girls like a year before my mom died. So they also had like a new, like, I don't want to say project because they're children that they love very much and they're 20 now and my grandparents are in their 70s, but like they had kids my youngest sister's age. So I would go, we'd go with my grandma. My grandma's got like, she's carting around like six kids. She got like this huge van. And we got really close to my grandma in a way that we wouldn't have if we lived 20 minutes
her
away.
Her baby's babies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you would, I'm glad to hear you got close to her like that.
Oh, we stayed with her a month out of every year. Yeah. I mean, she was, she like helped raise us.
She loved that.
Yeah, she did. She, we talk about it. We talk about it a lot now because, you know, we just, we would have had like sleepovers with her occasionally if we lived near them. But it wouldn't have been like it was. Like, we have such a comfort level with her that I really appreciate and I love so much. I mean, I had a joke about her in my special that, or in my hour before I shot the special, and I ran it past her beforehand and she laughed. And then like the next day texted me and was kind of like, I don't know about that. And I was like, it's gone. It's gone. Anything. I never want to upset you. Like, I'm, we'll never do anything to jeopardize our relationship, because she really did. She became the maternal figure in our lives, because again, my stepmom was fantastic and took care of us in so many ways, and like made us so much healthier too. Like, I'm so much healthier. I have such a strong work ethic because of her. But didn't have that that natural maternal touchy feely thing, like read you at bedtime. Like, just didn't have that instinct, which is understandable. And I think she had like a rough childhood that I don't know too many details about, but knowing all of that, definitely helped, but it didn't make it any easier. And there was a certain amount of like us versus them a little bit, because it felt like my dad was in this love bubble and the four of us were kind of like just still mourning and adjusting to our new lives. So that was like an interesting dynamic that I think we're still working through as adults, because, you know, my sisters and I are so close, and I think sometimes my dad probably feels like we have a secret group he can't in like penetrate, which, you know, I don't think is that bad. I understand that. It's probably hard as a parent to look at your kids and go like, are they against me or whatever? Yeah. But it's not like that. It's just, we're just our own unit in a way that he can't really understand, in the same way, like, you know, we're never going to be in his relationship with my mom. Like, it's, we just have our own clubhouse going.
You do. And also, like, I mean, I can tell you just from hindsight, like, you're 26,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. 30-year-old you is going to be different. 35-year-old you is going to be different. 40-year-old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it changes, and I think it's great that you guys are all tight and stuff. We were talking before we started recording. You said off mic that you did the Pete Holmes show. We love Pete Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something about a relative, and I think you said you an uncle. Reached out
yeah,
to you?
Yeah, my mom's older.
Talking about that?
Yeah. My mom's older brother reached out to me after he heard that episode.
How long ago would you say that was? Like within the year?
Like a year and a half ago, okay. Maybe. And just, you know, texted me. And had texted me when I moved to LA and was like, hey, we live nearby if you ever need anything. And
I'm so like, they're out here?
They're out here, yeah. But they lived in Colorado when we were growing up, so we didn't see them that much. And so we weren't like super close to them. And he reached out after he heard the episode of me talking about losing my mom. And we got coffee. And it was like, it was crazy. It's crazy because you just realize like, oh my gosh, nobody's over it. Like, nobody's over it. Everybody has different
things. You never get over it. You get better with it, but you never get over it. You'll never get it. You know, time and whatever, therapy, whatever it is for you that works, you get better with it over time, but you'll never get over that.
Yeah, and day to day it's so different because some days I'm really angry about it,
mm-hmm.
that I lost my mom. I get angry when I see my aunt with her daughters. I get angry that I don't have that, or I get really sad that I don't have that. I get angry at my mom sometimes for not, writing us letters or anything, knowing that this could be a possibility. I mean, I had, some like distant cousin, some distant relative mail me a bunch of her printed out emails from that time. 'Cause she had been emailing people updates and they had like circulated to like, people kept forwarding them, and it was like a lot of like testimonial stuff about God and whatnot. And you read these letters over the course of a year and they're like so heartbreaking because each one is like, I'm so hopeful. Like things are going great. Like I still have my hair. And then like the next one's like, we got some rough news. And like, it's just the back and forth of it is, and there's, you know, she did like a, she spoke at church once and did the whole thing of like, if this is what God wants, like I submit to that. And I'm just like, you gave up. Like, and you react to all these things where you go, why wouldn't you have acknowledged? Because as far as I can tell from everyone I've talked to in my family, she never talked to anybody about dying. Like, I don't think she thought she was going to. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And the only thing she ever said to my grandma was, Mom, if I die, make sure my kids are creative. That's the only thing she ever said about dying.
You've done that.
I mean, you know, that's,
you live in that.
That's another thing I say on stage when people get uncomfortable with the dead mom jokes. I go, do you guys think I'd be this successful if I had a live mom? Really? Do you think
if I'd have had two more hugs?
Yeah, I'd be a creative writing major with a lot of debt. Okay. All right. This is the only way. But yeah, day to day, you're like, some days you're really angry, and then some days you're sad, and then some days you're like, wow, this made me who I am. And I don't know, maybe it was just that day, but he was like, he was still angry about it. And I remember just thinking like, oh my gosh, like I just can't imagine losing one of my sisters.
Right.
And so when I think about my aunt and my uncle, I get so, so sad because I can't imagine losing a child either, but I haven't had a child yet. So I don't fully understand. And it makes me scared to have kids. And I know this is a common thing. I'm sure you guys have talked about it on some episode where if you lose a parent young, you assume that you're going to die at that same age.
Oh, do you have that? Man, exactly, yeah. My dad's age, I went through, I mean, it cost me over $10,000 in medical bills. It was the worst health year of my life.
Oh,
was 42,
no.
And that's when he died. It was crazy.
Oh, that's
crazy.
Awful.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a feeling. It was like things were actually happening.
Yeah, it really did happen.
Oh, that's
and
awful.
It was real close, too. And they were checking me for cancer. That's why I was saying they were checking me for that, for what your mom had. They were checking me for leukemia. They were checking me for all kinds of stuff. And then I'll never forget going in and the lady said to me, it just still gives me chills. I've said it before, but I went in for the results and I'm waiting to hear whether I do or don't have cancer. And she's like, the doctor's going to come in and talk to you, but I want to tell you, you don't have cancer. And I was
what a nice.
She goes, how does that feel? And I was like, I just feel relieved. This has been such a process. She goes, listen to me. It's my job every day to tell someone whether they do or don't have cancer. And a lot of times I tell people they have cancer.
Yeah.
And today I got to tell someone they didn't. Go celebrate that. And I was like, oh, I gave her a hug. I was like, thank you so much. It was great. And then it was the beginning of everything else. You know what I mean? But it was a year. It was a full fucking year of in and out of the hospital, in and out of specialists, in and out, like, just nonstop. And at the time, too, I just split with my daughter's mother. So all that shit is going on there, you know, and I'm learning how to be a dad and a single parent at the same time. But to go back to your dad again, like you said, he got healthier. It's so important because I wasn't healthy. Mm. I was doing everything to take care of my daughter and nothing to take care of me.
Yeah.
And there is no taking care of your kids if you're not taking care of yourself.
Right.
And it's very hard to, you almost feel guilty putting yourself up there because your child's everything, you know, and you want to take care of them. And especially when they're one, two, they can't do shit.
Yeah.
They fucking need you. It's not like I can go make toast, you know?
Seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad talks about like the day after the first day he sent us all
and
to
I had
school.
One PS, not four.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah. He talks about, he's talked to me. He doesn't talk about it a lot, but he's talked about, you know, like the first day he sent us all to school after my mom died. She died like right before we went back to school. And he just said he laid down in bed and he was just like, oh my gosh, like if I don't get up, like I will never get up. Like he's like, I have four kids, like I cannot fall apart right now, like I just can't. And he didn't, and he, you know, and that is what makes me go, yeah man, get married as quickly as you want. Like you took care of my mom. He watched my mom die for a year and a half, you know, like he watched his wife die while having four kids, while working. He's the only one working. He's making a teacher's salary, a music teacher's salary. Right. Like, just, I mean, I can't even imagine how hard that was. And I think, you know, only recently has he kind of like started talking to us a little bit more about it sometimes. But for a long time, he was like, he didn't really even want to talk about it. And I think it's because like sometimes there's too much pain. So you just have to kind of push it down and ignore it for a long time until you have like when you're getting sick and you have too many tour dates coming up and your body is like in survival mode. And then you're like, oh, I have 3 days off, and your body just shuts down and you get so ill.
Yeah.
You get so sick and you're like, why am I sick? I'm finally resting. And it's like, 'cause you finally have time to be sick.
Right.
So, it's been interesting to watch how everybody in my family, has dealt with it over the years and in what waves they've dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And weirdly enough, my grandma and grandpa are the ones who talk about her the most easily and seem to be the most at peace with it. Which, you know, who knows, but that was such a godsend to be with my grandparents so often growing up. Because it was like, that was the place we could go to talk about mom. Right. That was the place we could go to look at pictures and learn about her and ask for stories and feel close to her and that side of the family. So, you know, it's, again, silver lining.
It's great that you have that, though.
Mm-hmm.
So can we shift gears for a second and talk about, because I'm curious if any of this plays into you were engaged.
Yes. Oh, of course it plays into it. Yeah. I was engaged last year for a couple months, and it didn't work out, obviously. And it was, I mean, we both dodged a bullet, quite frankly. But I realized after the fact, like, that wasn't the right person for me. But I was so convinced in the moment, and I just wanted to be settled. I just really wanted to be with my person. And, you know, I loved him very much, and there were, you know, a lot of different things, but I think I got engaged for a lot of reasons, but, I think I really wanted, and we got engaged at my grandparents' house, like in that orchard that I grew up in. And like my whole family met him that night. Like it was this huge thing. It was like a beautiful day. Yeah. Like my sisters were part of the proposal, like the perfect proposal, like so amazing. And when it didn't work out, I remember just like sobbing on my bed to my sister who had driven out to like be with me. And I was like, every time I lose somebody, it's like mom's dying again.
Oh, I was just about to say.
It's, every time.
It is. And it will be.
Yeah.
But every breakup, anything that makes you sad to the point of emotionally crying and letting it all out, it's that old familiar feeling of this. So it always takes you back to that. Yeah, always does.
And particularly losing somebody. And like once my dad and my stepmom were married and working a lot, we had nannies during the school week, not on the weekends. I was watching them on the weekends from the time I was like 10. But when during the week we needed someone to like pick us up and make dinner and everything. So there were these women who were like 20 to 26, like my age now, taking care of these four girls. And it's a temporary job. It's not something you usually stay with. So these women would come in and out of our lives for like 8 months to a year. So we're losing people
Non-stop.
That we're getting close to. It's like we're being re-traumatized every year. Mm-hmm. And I did not even realize how traumatic that was for me until I got into therapy in like the last year. And I'm like, you know what? Because I was like, why is it so hard for me when I lose people, or why don't I trust people to stay? Because my mom wanted to stay. It's not like she didn't want to. And then I go, oh, because all these women kept leaving after my mom died. So when I'm with somebody, and then my dad got remarried. So when I'm in a relationship, my fears are you're going to meet someone you love more than me, which is...
Check. I'm over here checking off my list with you. Check.
Like, you're going to meet someone you love more than me, which is how, on some level, probably what I felt like as a kid. My dad met someone he loved more than us. And then if that doesn't happen, they'll just leave for whatever reason. I mean, those women all left for different reasons. They were going to have their own family. They got married. They had a kid, you know, whatever.
They got
bored. Like they're
abandoned.
They moved to New York, like whatever it is, they were gone. So I'm like, they're going to disappear one day. They're going to be out of my life, and I have to prepare for that. And if they stay and none of that happens, they're going to die. So
yeah, that's right.
There is no situation where anybody stays
but
with
they
me.
Are going to die. By
they
the
are going to die.
At some point.
I know. But I could
point.
Go first.
You could,
so.
You could.
But like, it. I remember sitting in therapy just going, there's no way out. I am always going to lose people. And it is every day with my sisters. I'm always scared of losing my sisters because that's the one thing I cannot wrap my head around. And I remember the day, because I gave the ring back and stuff because like some stuff happened, but the like an hour before the first like event in the string of events that made me go like we're not engaged anymore happened, I literally said to my ex-fiance, I don't know what I would do without you. If anything happened to you or my sisters, I don't know how I'd keep doing comedy. Like, I don't know how I would go on.
But
and
let me
then,
see if I can find out.
I know. But it, you know what? I think I'm going to. Yeah.
I'm going to roll the dice.
No.
Go.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Ring back.
Oh, yeah. And then some stuff happened that weekend where I was like, I felt, you know, it was like he just turned out to not be, you know, the person I thought he was in certain ways. And like everybody's layered and complicated. So it's some days I'm angry about it. And then some days I'm just like, okay, well, we all make mistakes. But. It felt like a piano dropped on my head, and I was like, this is what happened. And you get angry at yourself for believing you could be happy, where you go, you dumbass. Of course this was gonna happen. You've been here before. Fucking live like you've been here. Like, what's wrong with you that you thought the universe or God or whoever was gonna let you have this
moment?
This moment, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was so unbelievably happy with that guy. I mean, we got engaged like, I mean, less than a year after I said I love you. I mean, it was...
How long were you together?
Not that long. Like a year and a couple months.
Okay.
So we moved in together and then we got engaged. And I mean, I wanted to be married. I wanted to be settled. I wanted to be married.
It probably would have worked for you if you had four kids and your husband had just died. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was the missing ingredient. That was the special
it's
sauce.
It's the same thing we talk about. You can't be at this keg party without that shit over there. Yeah.
Well, and it was so fun. I mean, I did like a whole Conan set about him and about how he'd never been through anything that like traumatic. Like, his parents had gotten divorced when he was a kid, and I remember asking him like, was that really hard? Like, did you wish they'd stayed together? And he's like I just didn't like going between houses. He's like, yeah, I didn't really feel that way. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't know how to talk to him. I felt like I spent so much time in therapy going like, I just feel like we don't connect on a certain level because he hasn't been through.
Your mom didn't die in your living room?
Right, exactly.
No, sorry. That's, yeah, we're
I
not,
mean,
this isn't going to work out.
You didn't try to close your dead mother's eyes when you were 8 years old and realize it's not like a movie where you can just go, ooh, and float her into the river? They stay
the
half open. Yeah. And
I haven't done that. This isn't going to work out.
Yeah. No, but it's truly, once we broke up, I was like, oh, I need somebody who's been through some stuff.
Some
like
shit.
I can't go through another. I can't be with someone else who like has an acquaintance die and goes like, that's the first person I knew to die. Like someone they didn't even know. Like, it was crazy. And it wasn't his fault or anything. Obviously, I'm glad his life's been pretty good, but, and he had a great family. And I think maybe some part of me wanted to maybe feel more well adjusted or something. I don't know. It's my psychiatrist called my relationship with him a mirage. She was like, she's like, I think, you know, there was, I was like, it's hard though, because I was so happy and I felt really safe and I felt like I found somebody who I could be with. And she goes, yeah, but you kind of made that happen. It was like I found somebody, and in the beginning of our relationship, I remember telling friends of mine, like, I just don't know. There's just something like missing. And they were like, he's so cute. He's so nice. Like, just give him a chance. And I remember the first time he told me he loved me. I was like, what? Like, you do? Like, where? Really? Okay. Like, it's. And then I fell like so in love with him. And I was like, I loved living with him. Like, I loved having, I felt like I had a partner. Like, and so to then have it fall apart a month after I find out I have an hour special on Netflix. I mean, I got engaged. I was engaged for a month. I found out I got the hour. And then a month later, my engagement falls apart. And then I'm in couples therapy for 2 months. We finally break up like late August. And then I have September and October to finish my hour, which changed a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
As you can imagine. Yeah. It was, the opening joke was no longer, I'm engaged. Which would have been so annoying. Can you imagine?
Listen, I don't feel like writing some new shit. So yeah. I'm just
like, I had all these jokes about being engaged, and some of them made it into the special, but they were all now coded in. This didn't work out, which was so much more on theme with the rest of the hour, mm-hmm. which is like, I'm in my 20s. I don't know what I'm doing. And like, I just proved that. But you think you know. You're like, I'm engaged and maybe I'm young, but we haven't been together that long, but I'm so certain. I just know. And when I look at him, I know. And it knocks you on your ass. Like in this, and it's similar in that you're like, my mom will never die. Moms don't die. And then they do. And you go, okay, moms die. And then you go, I found my person. This is my soulmate. And then they're not. And you go, okay, well, I guess I don't know anything. And it makes it real hard for the next guy to say anything about forever.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to be with you forever. You're like, you think that. You're new
forever
here.
Forever could be an hour. Yeah, you know exactly. What I'm saying? You don't know my life.
I'm like, all right. Well, I was with somebody and I went down on him every day and he still did some stuff. So like, I thought I could keep him and that doesn't work.
All right. Let me ask you this because we have to wrap this up here
absolutely.
In a little bit. Especially since your trauma happened so early at 8, what advice would you give to your 16-year-old self? And I love this because it's only 10 years ago for you. And like I said, I'll bet you when you're 30 that advice changes and keeps going. But right now, what would you say to your 16-year-old self?
Well, when I was 16, when I was like 16 and a half is when I took, when I started doing stand-up. So, but the beginning of the year was like, the hardest year because I was severely depressed, really, really anxious. And there's a joke about it in the special about me telling my dad I need to go to therapy and that I'd been like thinking about killing myself. And he pulled a knife out of the knife drawer and just went, be my guest.
For real?
Because he was mad at me. Yeah, because we were arguing. And of course, he apologized to me like a year ago for that. But the first time I brought it up to him, he was just like, oh yeah, I remember that. Like,
that was one of my Hinkle knives.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, absolutely. And he did get me into therapy shortly after, but we fought so much and a lot of it was like I was just so depressed. And I think what I would probably tell my 16-year-old self is like, probably just like, dad said something and he didn't mean it. And it feels like this feeling of being so depressed is never going to end. And I'll be honest with you, Taylor, it will be something you deal with for the rest of your life, but it's going to get so much better. You're going to have such an amazing life. And what you feel right now is going to feel so far away in just like a few years. And right now you feel trapped by it and you feel like this is just my life and this is who I am and I'm broken, but it's not. And you're going to figure it out and your dad loves you you know, you just have to be patient with yourself and like be, I guess, like kinder to yourself and not try not to be so afraid all the time because bad things are going to happen and being terrified of them happening is not going to stop them. So just try to enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah, very good.
And, you know.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you for opening up. This is a lot. What?
I know. That was a lot.
I appreciate it. I really enjoyed
therapy
this.
Therapy session.
Yeah. Will you one more time promote everything you'd like to promote, please?
Oh, yes. Quarter Life Crisis on Netflix right now, streaming. TTomComedy.com for tour dates and at Taylor Tomlinson on all social media.
Thank you so much. For real. This was great.
Thank you.
I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.